Hello and welcome to Armchair Detectives Wanted. This is our Unsolved Case Week, episode 14, Crates Full of Cash. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Before we start, I will just issue a warning. This podcast may include content that some could find upsetting. It may also contain offensive language. As with all these cases, they are real life events, so please be aware that the crimes have had an impact on the family and friends of the victims. This case is a little different to the ones we have featured previously. This is a different genre of crime, a bank heist. This is the robbery of the Northern Bank headquarters in Belfast on the 20th of December 2004. It was one of the largest bank robberies in the history of the United Kingdom. Both used and unused banknotes totaling £26.5 million were stolen. The money was loaded into vans and spirited away during two trips. Family members of two bank employees were taken as hostages. The armed gang forced the bank employees to help them steal the cash. As this robbery occurred during the Troubles, the IRA were blamed. Any involvement in the offence was denied by both Sinn Féin, an Irish Republican and Democratic Socialist Political Party, and the IRA. No one at this present time has been convicted of the robbery. This was the largest bank in Northern Ireland with 95 branches. It was owned by National Australia Bank. The headquarters of the bank was situated at Donegal Square West in Belfast. The bank was one of a few that had the authority to print banknotes. At 10 p.m. on Sunday the 19th of December 2004, groups of armed men attended at the home addresses of two bank employees. The first employee was Chris Ward. He resided in Poleglass on the outskirts of Belfast. He was at his address with his parents, brother and a female believed to be a girlfriend. Ward was then taken away while two armed men held the rest of the family hostage for a period of 24 hours. He was taken in a red car to Downpatrick, County Down. This is the home address of his supervisor, Kevin McMullen. Both Kevin and his wife had been tied up by men posing as PSNI police officers. At 23:30 p.m, McMullen's wife was taken from her home address and held at an undisclosed location. She was blindfolded and held for 24 hours. At 6 a.m. on Monday the 20th of December 2004, the plan commenced. McMullen and Ward were told to attend at the bank as normal. Ward and McMullen had been given phones by the criminal gang, which were to be used to direct proceedings. Both men were ordered to send the staff home early. It was made clear they must remain behind and help with the theft of the cash. Initially, they were asked to fill a bag with £50 and £100 notes. Once full, the bag contained about £1 million. Ward was then directed to attend a bus stop nearby at Upper Queen Street. He left the bag at the bus stop and returned to the bank. The bag was collected by someone involved in the robbery. It was believed this was a test run.
At this point, they were told to load cash into crates and then onto trolleys. Ward and McMullen advised security staff they would be wheeling out rubbish for collection. The crates were covered with office furniture and cardboard to give the impression that it was in fact waste that was being discarded. Ward then contacted the robbers, who arrived in a white van. The van was allowed access by security staff. It took 15 minutes for Ward and McMullen to load the van with the crates. The transit van had pulled into the bullion yard where cash would normally be delivered. The two employees were then told to fill more crates and the van would return. A short while later, they filled the transit van for a second time, with two further crates also concealing cash. Both Ward and McMullen then locked the bank and set the alarm. They then drove to Ward's house. On arrival, the gang were still holding his family hostage. At about 9 p.m. that evening, the gang left. The robbers had managed to eliminate any forensic evidence by scrubbing areas and removing items they had used. McMullen was told to wait a further 20 minutes to allow the robbers to escape. He then made his way home to his wife, who had been taken hostage. At about the time he arrived home, his wife was abandoned at Drumkira Forest. Although suffering from hypothermia, she found a house and raised the alarm. Her car was then found burnt out in Forest Park. At 11 p.m, on the instructions of the gang, Ward phoned the police to notify them. The gang had stolen £26.5 million in cash. This included £16.5 million in unused notes and £10 million in used notes. The unused notes would be difficult to launder as the serial numbers were quickly circulated. However, the used banknotes were untraceable. £10 million of used notes is a huge amount of money, and so quickly the police investigation began. Assistant Chief Constable Sam Kincaid commented, "This was not a lucky crime, this was a well-organised crime." And as a result, at least 50 detectives were drafted into the investigation. As the police inquiries progressed, there was speculation that the Provisional IRA was somehow involved. On the 7th of January 2005, an interim report submitted by Hugh Ord, the Chief Constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland, suggested the involvement of the IRA. The British government also agreed with Ord's assessment. Sinn Féin, the political arm of the IRA, categorically denied the offence, stating they were not involved and they had not sanctioned it. As a result, the investigation then started to become political. Martin McGuinness of Sinn Féin said, "It's nothing more than politically based allegations. This is more to do with halting the process of change which Sinn Féin has been driving forward than with anything that happened at the Northern Bank."
The Independent Monitoring Commission recommended that Sinn Féin be fined for the bank heist, stating they believed it had been orchestrated by them. Sinn Féin were advised they needed to consider their association with the Provisional IRA. If Sinn Féin wanted to become a recognised political party, they would need to stay clear of any criminal activity. On the 18th of January 2005, the Provisional IRA issued a statement. "The IRA has been accused of involvement in the recent Northern Bank robbery. We were not involved." The denials, though, failed to extinguish beliefs that the IRA had planned and carried out the robbery. The police then began to execute search warrants in order to locate the cash and offenders. A warrant executed in County Tyrone failed to provide any cash or evidence. However, cash seizures were made in Cork and Dublin, amounting to about £2 million. However, no link was established to the robbery. One person was alleged to have been carrying £62,000 in a washing powder box, but yet again, no link could be established. The arrest of Ted Cunningham, a financial advisor from County Cork, resulted in the recovery of £2.3 million. The cash had been hidden in a compost heap. Both himself and his wife were investigated by the police. The discovery also led to a couple of high-profile resignations. Phil Flynn resigned his position as chairman of the Bank of Scotland, the Irish division. He was a director of Chesterman Finance, a company owned by Ted Cunningham. The head of the Northern Ireland Policing Board also stepped down. He was in fact a director of a company linked to Phil Flynn. A person was arrested for burning cash in their garden, but again, evidence just wasn't available to link them to the robbery. A few people then came forward and handed in cash amounting to £400,000. They stated Ted Cunningham had asked them to look after it for him. Cunningham had a business interest in Bulgaria, and it was suspected this was a place the money was laundered for the IRA. A surprising find was the recovery of £50,000 in unused Northern Bank notes in the toilets of New Forge County Club. This is a sports and social club in Belfast used by serving and retired police officers. Further investigation revealed that the cash had in fact been stolen in the robbery. The PSNI, although embarrassed, stated this was a stunt to divert attention away from the investigation. By the end of 2005, 13 arrests had been made and 22 warrants executed, but no one was convicted of involvement with the robbery.
Police arrested Chris Ward, one of the bank employees threatened by the gang. On the 29th of November 2005, they searched his home address. an unnamed 22-year-old female bank employee, was also arrested. The Police Service of Northern Ireland executed a warrant at the Gaelic Athletic Association at Casement Park. This was where Ward worked on a part-time basis. On the 7th of December, Ward appeared before Belfast Magistrates Court, charged with robbery and using a firearm. The prosecution's case was purely circumstantial. It was based on his interactions in the days before the robbery. His work pattern appeared suspicious, while his statements showed contradictions. Ward categorically denied the charges. He said the police were trying to frame him. He also pointed out the police held him longer than the gang held his family. He stated a surveillance operation had been mounted against him while he was holidaying in Fuerteventura. The court case was set for September 2008. When the date approached, the prosecution offered no evidence, and Ward was acquitted of all charges. It appears the change in Ward's rota at the bank had in fact been a decision made by the management and not Ward. Although unsuccessful in establishing who committed the robbery, the Police Service of Northern Ireland did have little success. They charged Ted Cunningham with laundering £3 million of the Northern Bank robbery cash. Or so they thought. In March 2009, he was found guilty on 10 charges of money laundering. He was remanded in custody and received a sentence of 10 years in prison. His son was also convicted of money laundering. However, Ted Cunningham appealed, and in May 2012, the Court of Appeal quashed his conviction. The court stated that the warrant used to search his home address was invalid, and a retrial was instructed. In February 2014, at the retrial, he pleaded guilty to laundering £275,000 and received a 5-year suspended sentence. The state forfeited £2,985,000 and €45,000 from Cunningham. This had been recovered from his home address. And so, to this day, no one has been convicted of the robbery, and the money is still out there somewhere.
So, it's now over to you, the Armchair Detectives Wanted team. This is what we know. At 10 p.m. on Sunday the 19th of December, three masked men go to the home address of Chris Ward. He is a Northern Bank employee. He is taken away by the gang and his family are held at gunpoint. He is transported in a red vehicle to his supervisor's address, Kevin McMullen. Kevin lives in Downpatrick, County Down. Kevin's wife is tied up by a gang posing as PSNI police officers. At 11:30 p.m, Mrs. McMullen is blindfolded and taken away to an unknown location. Ward and McMullen are told to attend the bank as normal. At 6:20 p.m, Ward carries a sports bag out containing approximately £1 million in cash. He hands it over at a bus stop on Upper Queen Street. Ward and McMullen continue to load crates with cash. A white transit van enters twice to take the cash away. Ward and McMullen lock and alarm the bank. They then drive to Ward's home address. The abductors leave Ward's address and tell them to remain in situ for 20 minutes. McMullen then drives home. His wife is released in Drumcaoire Forest with her burned out car. Over £2 million in cash is located at the home address of Ted Cunningham. He is convicted of money laundering. Ward is charged, but no evidence offered at court, and he is released. £50,000 recovered from a toilet at New Forge Country Club used by PSNI police officers. The provisional IRA involvement is still suggested.
And here's what we need to know. Was Ward involved in the robbery? And was McMullen involved in the robbery? Was Ted Cunningham one of the robbers? Who gave Ted Cunningham over £2 million in cash? Were the Provisional IRA involved? Were the Police Service of Northern Ireland involved? What forensic evidence is available? None of the robbery gang were with Ward or McMullen at the time they loaded the cash. So why didn't they raise the alarm? Where is the holdall dropped off at the bus stop? It's very distinctive. Was £1 million in the holdall for Ward? Where is the red car used to transport Ward? Were the other security guards at the bank involved? What happened to all that cash? And what happened to the new banknotes with identifiable serial numbers? Most robberies of this nature require someone on the inside. What route was taken from Ward's house to McMullen's? And what route was taken from McMullen's to the Northern Bank? Someone knows who committed this robbery, and someone must have that vital piece of information. Don't forget to go to www.armchairdetectiveswanted.com, where you will find photos and further information about the case. Please visit our Facebook page, Armchair Detectives Wanted, where you will be able to discuss your theories and views with other members.
It's now week 14 of our scenario. Smith is now a suspect, as his fingerprints are on the broken glass and lamp. You are asked to go to his home address to arrest him. We want to know, what are your considerations? A. Go to the address and arrest Smith. B. Do not make the arrest as you have been to the crime scene previously. C. Once arrested, search Smith's home address. D. Consider using a search dog for blood on clothing. E. Recover every pair of shoes and all clothing at the address. Thank you for listening to Armchair Detectives Wanted. You are one of the team. Remember, don't just listen, be involved. We really would appreciate you recommending our podcast to others. We look forward to you joining us next week for our Special Interest Week, Episode 15. I was at the fish and chip shop and hard done by.